Did everybody receive a handout at all? An email handout from Tony. I want to thank Tony Barberman McCurry for really helping me out. I guess I should know how to do some things as sending handouts. There's going to be some ongoing charts and handouts to this study, I'll tell you. And we're running into some interesting things going into the study about the tabernacle and the tribes and such. And so tonight we are going to discuss what's on the handout, if you have one, concerning the Jacob's 12 sons and how this fits into these stones that were on the breastplate of the high priest of Israel. And it's not as straightforward as everybody might think. But I believe that the Lord makes things as such so that we are constant miners and constant diggers. That's what I really believe. That's a matter of fact. Dave, thanks a lot, Barberman, and thanks Gary there for soothing music. Time to just relax here, relax and think about the Lord with soothing music of the Lord. That's a beautiful thing. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you all tonight as beloved saints of the Most High, knowing that we've been called before the Katabale, the overthrow of the world. And maybe even before that in the councils of God, we know that you love us so very much. We know that our blessings aren't on this planet. We know they're not here. We know that we're going to face trials. We're going to face troubles. We're going to face attacks. We're going to face many things that might be adverse to us because of who we are in you. And that's pretty much a given. But we thank you for one of preserving your mighty word. Your mighty word was in history on this planet was pretty much stamped out for the public for the dark and middle ages, and then you resurrected that word of God through faithful people. Some gave their lives, many gave their lives for it, and today we have the completed word of God so that we might understand our calling. And so all of us should really take counsel, take a review of that you've had your precious word guarded so that we might understand our calling, because without the word of God, where would we be? And I believe that we should really take heart in every day in acknowledging that very fact. We pray for all those that are struggling at this time with certain things. We pray for all those in the ministry that you would keep them strong in the faith. Ministry can be weary, a wearying thing. Ministry can be something that's difficult to accomplish day after day after month after year. It's the hanging in there. That's what's important to the Lord, that we finish and are perfected to the end. And so he loves those that hang in there. So we pray for those in the ministry and of the mystery, and for all those that contribute, which is actually all of us. We all contribute. We all love our calling so very much. We know that. Pray for Roger there. Talk to him. He's in great pain at times, and so we're praying that he might get through his trial there. But I spoke to him, and sometimes the Lord can set us aside through trials of different things with our bodies and such, so that he holds us up like he did with Paul in prison. Paul was set in prison for many, many days and weeks, and that actually gave him the opportunity to, through the God, the Holy Spirit, to write the scriptures. He was placed in a place where he couldn't go anywhere. So sometimes happen to us Sometimes we don't understand it. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's painful. But, you know, our blessings aren't here. Our hearts and minds are supposed to be in the super heavenlies. And, you know, there's much to be learned, faith in our walk in that. So we pray that might be strong in our faith and in our calling always. So we pray for your blessing upon tonight's study, that it would be your words, Lord, through your precious word of God, that you would help us learn some things about you, about you tabernacling with human beings, various ways you did this. We're going to look at the tribes of Israel tonight. And this study always is, you could say, well, what are we studying about the tribes of Israel for when what we're studying about occurred, you know, some 3,500, 3,000 years ago. What does that do for us? Well, it's going to bring to light how magnificent God is, this one with whom we have to deal with. And then the calling that we have in Christ at the right hand of God in the Holy of Holies, I believe, in the tabernacle in the heavens, how astounding, how mind-boggling, and how completely incredible that is, that you would call human beings to such a place and such a calling and such a blessing. So in these studies about the tabernacle, whether they be the tabernacle of Israel or whether they be Christ tabernacling with human beings on earth in the Son, or whether we study about the New Jerusalem, they're all tabernacles and places that the Almighty has chosen to dwell with his own. And so he's going to actually dwell in us in the super heavenlies at his right hand. And so these studies are to, if nothing else, to bolster the true fact of what we've been given. That's why I'm really, really giving these studies, so that we can look back at how God is working with different callings and to understand the magnificence of what he's given to us, really. So that's why I'm doing this. And so I pray for that. I pray that he would help all of us understand what this lowly one is trying to do. In the name of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, Amen. By the way, my name is Jason, and coming to you from Wisconsin. I moved here, and so I got a little shorter. And so, at any rate, I hope that hi, how are you doing? How are you doing? I hope that you got this handout. I had Tony send you a couple of handouts. One is premature. One has to do with the breastplate of the priest. That's going to come up, I found out, in studies to come. But what we're going to go into tonight, we're going to go into the Jacob's 12 sons and how they were born and who they were born with, born to, and how the Almighty looks at the order of these births and their blessing, and some interesting things, okay? And so let's turn to Exodus 28. And before that, one scripture I'm going to read. Here it is, 2 Timothy 3:16. For all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man and woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so I was going to state that I am no expert in the scriptures. There are an expert in the scriptures, but do not lose heart. I would have to say that there is no man or woman that's an expert in the scriptures, because we're constantly studying it until we're not here anymore. So how can that be? No man or woman has the complete scriptures all wrapped up so they can carry on with something else. And I believe the Lord planned it that way because of our natures. But take heart that God the Holy Spirit, who is with us, is the expert of the Word of God. And He is with us, and He is the expert. And he is the discerner of spiritual things. We all know this. Let's turn to Exodus 28. Okay. So tonight we're going to get into the 12 tribes of Israel. Some things you might not have known. Some things I studied that I didn't know. And so let's read Exodus 28. Looking at this chart that I sent out about the 12 sons of Jacob. The 12 sons of Jacob, as we can see from this chart, came from four women, not from one. They came from, the 12 sons came from Leah, from Zippah, Leah's servant, from Bilhah, who was Rachel's servant, and from Rachel herself. And so the 12 sons of Israel came from four women. And that's interesting. And then so the order of these sons, they weren't just all, you know, born 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, right down in order from one woman. That's interesting to note. Okay? And so we'll read in Exodus 28. And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even in Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And who were the nation of Israel? What were they meant to be? Well, they were meant to be a nation of priests, correct? They were meant to be the chosen people of God on earth so that the nations of the earth could come to them and learn of the living God. Okay, so that should be in the back of my mind. Verse 2 of Exodus 28, and thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty. Thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Very important, Aaron. Aaron's job, very important. And these are the garments which they shall make, a breastplate and an ephod. An ephod is this white garment, by the way, and this ephod also worn by Samuel and by David, by the way. Not the same one as the high priest, but if you look over into the companion Bible, into the note on ephod there for verse 6, it's a garment, a white garment, and Samuel the prophet wore it, and David the king wore one too. And so you have this as being the type of the coming Christ in this ephod alone. Christ as prophet, Christ as king, and Christ as priest. Pardon me, just alone in this white garment. I'll say this again. I'll say this many times. Every square millimeter of the tabernacle in the wilderness shouts the name, the Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Every bit and nit and tittle of that tabernacle shouts out the name of the one to come. Going on in verse 5 of Exodus 28, and they shall take gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. They shall make an ephod of gold, of blue, ephod of gold, of blue and purple, of scarlet and fine twine linen, with cunning work. And it shall have two shoulder pieces thereof joined at two edges thereof, and so it shall be joined together. And a curious girdle of the ephod which is upon it shall be of the same according to the work thereof, even of gold and blue and purple and scarlet. Those four colors are very important. And fine twined linen. And thou shalt take two onyx stones. Okay, so now we're going to start getting into this priestly garment and the 12 sons of Jacob. And engrave on them the names of the children of Israel. Okay, so we have these two onyx stones that are affixed to the shoulders of the high priest. Six of their names on one stone, and on the other six names of the rest on the other stone according to their birth. With the work of the engraver in the stone, like the engravings of a signet, shalt thou engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel, and thou shalt make them to be set in ounces of gold, ounces, And thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of memorial of the children of Israel. And Aaron shall bear the names before the Lord upon his shoulders for a memorial. And thou shalt take the ounces of gold and two chains of pure gold at the ends of wreathen work, and thou shalt make them and fasten the wreath and chains to the ounces. One question. What were the orders of the names of Israel on these two onyx stones? Because it doesn't really tell us. Goes on to say, and thou shalt make a breastplate of judgment and cunning work after the work of the ephod. Thou shalt make it of gold, of blue, of purple, and scarlet, of fine twined linen, and thou shalt make it. Four square shall be being doubled, a span be the length thereof, and a span be the breadth thereof. The Lord likes geometric objects, by the way. The Holy of Holies is a perfect cube. The New Jerusalem is a perfect cube. This breastplate was a perfect square. And all the stones, I would imagine, all 12 of them would have been perfectly exactly the same. The Lord likes geometric structures. The Lord likes gold. The Lord loves spheres. His universe consists of spherical shapes, molecules, raindrops, atomic structure, spheres, geometric structures from the living, holy Creator. Goes on to say in verse 17 of Exodus 28, thou shalt set it in settings of stone, even four rows of stone. The first row, a sardis, a topaz, and a carbuncle. This shall be the first row. The second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. The third row, a ligure, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, and an onyx, and they shall be set in gold in their enclosings. And the stone shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. Every one with his names shall they be, according to the 12 tribes. Question. What was the order of the 12 tribes in these stones? Answer. It's a mystery, because they're not given. So, we know the dispensation of the mystery. There's many mysteries in the scriptures. But right off the bat, we have a mystery in these stones on the shoulders of the priests of Israel and on this breastplate. Okay, so, what Mikey is going to try to do is he's going to try to unravel this mystery the best I can. So what I'm going to do is through studying, and through my studies, there's been many believers that have tried to work this out. And we'll see as we go that we'll see, like let's say the right hand is really important. The firstborn is really important. The blessing of the firstborn is really important. That all has to do with the coming Christ, by the way. But Reuben was the firstborn. Let's just go ahead of ourselves. Reuben was the firstborn. And so you would have expected blessings to come through Reuben. But Reuben fell from his firstborn position. So then from there, blessing went to Joseph. And that he had the double portion through his sons, right? But what tribe did the Lord come from? Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Well, how can that be and why? Okay? And that has all to do, I believe, with a type of all of that is seen in these stones right off the bat. So why did the Lord come from the tribe of Judah? It doesn't make any sense, really, as far as the firstborn or the right hand of blessing. And so we're gonna get into some interesting things here. I don't claim to have all the answers, but like the guys on Sunday, they're digging in, they're throwing things out. We don't have all the answers. We are not the experts, but all of you are studiers. All of you are commissioned to endeavor in the word of truth. And so you might have some answers I don't. You might have some knowledge I don't. Hey, hallelujah. Put it down. Throw it into the pot, and let's get to some learning. So we threw out what I believe is some really important facts here about Reuben, about Joseph, about Judah, about these stones. And so let's look at how these sons were born. Okay? So how are we going to figure out the order of these sons initially on these onyx stones on the shoulders of the high priest? And then Moses is the one that chose, I believe, the 12 stones to go on the breastplate. Well, what was he thinking? Can we even imagine what he was thinking? And so let's turn to other scripture on here, Numbers 1. Numbers 1, 17 through verse 2, chapter 234. Okay, this is an ongoing study, and so we're going to be reading and reading scripture. We're going to be reading scripture. I'll be reading scripture and going through this until my time is done and stop and carry it on. So this is what I'm doing. It's ongoing. This is going to be a healthy study for a while. Not because I'm doing it, but because it's really interesting. I can say I've learned things that I never knew before. Okay, so let's turn, quit your yapping, Mike, and let's turn to Numbers 1. I mean Numbers, yeah, chapter 1, verse 17. And now hold on. I could possibly eliminate some reading here. Okay, so more or less from Numbers 1:17 through do you guys mind reading scriptures? No. Okay. Okay, here's the point that I'm going to hopefully get to, at least with this first chart. If you turn to page, if you have a companion Bible, to Numbers 3, page 181. Turn over there. You'll notice that this is the order of the encampment. Okay? Remembering we were talking about the stones on the shoulders and the stones on the breastplate of the high priest. Look at this, though. Look at the encampment. Okay, everybody see that? Okay, you have the encampment. And it, right in the middle of there, right in the middle of that rectangle, you could put the Levites. Because in the encampment, the priests were the Levites. The progeny of Aaron, the priests were in the middle. And then the 12 tribes were spread around the encampment in groups of three. Three on the north, three on the south, three on the west, and three on the east. Okay? And you'll notice that in the encampment that Judah, on the top there, Judah was in the east, right? Do you see that? And then Reuben there, he's in the south. Ephraim there, and the sons of Joseph were in the west. Do you see that? And then Dan over there, and the other two tribes, they're in the north, okay? You see that? Let me mention this really quickly before we start reading about all these men and people of Israel around the camp, that the east is a really important direction to the Lord. The east. The east. Notice that Judah is the cornerstone tribe, they call. There's four cornerstone tribes of Israel, by the way. They are Judah, Reuben, Ephraim, and Dan. And a cornerstone tribe has to do with the constellations in the heavenlies. That's why they're called cornerstones, and we're going to eventually get to that. But you'll notice that Judah, taking in what I said already about the blessings, the line, the royal line of blood went through Judah, not through Reuben and not through Joseph. And that, to anybody that studied about Israel, that's kind of stunning. And so what Moses actually did was unprecedented. His choice of Judah was unprecedented in a sense. So hopefully we can get to the understanding of that. But the east has always been an important direction to the Lord. If you study the tabernacle in the wilderness, the entrance to the tabernacle is in the east, where all the people came in, flowing in to the east. And so when the high priest went out of the tabernacle and he looked to the people, he was looking east. The Lord Jesus Christ was crucified on the Mount of Olives, which is on the eastern side of Jerusalem. I believe that the Lord is going to return again, and he's going to enter the eastern gate of the Temple Mount from the east and enter the re-tabernacle from the east. And so the east, and I believe that you'll find this more and more in studying about in the scriptures, the east is really important to the Lord. And Judah is associated on the eastern side of the camp. Okay, that's one fact. And this, we're going to move on now, and this might be, you know, kind of, I don't know, some verbiage here, but it's all scripture. And so we find in Numbers 1:17, then the tabernacle of the congregation shall set forward with the camp of the Levites in the midst of the camp. Okay, and so what are we doing here? What are we going over this camp for? Well, what we're going to do is we're going to associate the birth of the 12 sons of Jacob with how they were encamped in the encampment around the Levites. Okay? Well, I'll tell you what. Let's just go on and read this. Verse 18 of Numbers 1. On the west side shall be a standard of the camp of Ephraim according to their armies. The captain of the sons of Ephraim shall be Elisha, the son of Amnihad, and his host, and those that are numbered of them were 40,500. Numbers 2. Oh man, I really screwed up. Okay. Well, I really screwed up here. Sorry. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's just bypass this. You guys can read Numbers 1 and Numbers 2, and taking for granted that the picture on page 181 of the Companion Bible is correct, with how these nations, these tribes of Israel, were aligned in the camp. Okay, and so let's let's talk about the birth of the 12 sons. All right, so turn to Genesis 29. I hope what I'm trying to do, and we'll get back to this. I know that was kind of a jagged flow there, but let's keep on going and make sense of this. Okay, like I said, it's not the easiest thing in the world, and it's not something that is 1 + 1, as I say all the time. It takes some digging. Genesis 29:31 through chapter 30, verse 25. Genesis 29:31. Let's go back to verse 16. And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah. Okay? And, of course, with scriptures, these things are very important. All things are very important. Who Leah was, what she was like. Who Rachel was, what she was like. And the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. Laban said, it's better that I give her to thee than I should give her to another man. Abide with me. Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days, for he loved for the love he had to her. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go on in unto her. And Laban gathered together all of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah his maid for a handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this thou hast done unto me? Did I not serve thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Interesting. The blessing of the firstborn is seen in the daughters of Laban. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me 7 days, yet 7 other years. And so Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. Interesting that weeks of years are being talked about here, like in Daniel. And Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter, Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And so, according to the chart that you see before you, we have these four women. We have Leah, and we have her servant, Zilpah. And then we have Rachel, and we have her servant, Bilhah. And from these four women come the 12 sons of Jacob. But it's interesting to note the order that they're born in. Okay, so that's the point. And then relating this initially to the stones, onyx stones, on the shoulders of the high priests of Israel. What order were they in? Is the point. Well, could I say that nobody knows for sure, positively? So what we're doing here is we're studying, because the scriptures don't tell us. If they do, please point it out to me before I go any further. But as far as I have seen in the scriptures, these names are not plainly given in order. On the shoulder pieces, the onyx, and on the breastplate. Okay? So, that's what's excellent about this. The joy I'm having from it anyway. I never knew this before. Okay, and it goes on to say, and he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. And when the Lord saw Leah was hated, while she was she wasn't favored in Jacob's eye. And that might come into play in the future. But he opened up her womb, but Rachel was barren. Interesting. And Leah conceived and bare a son and called his name Reuben, the first son of Jacob. You see on your chart, Reuben, number one son. And Leah conceived and bare a son, called his name Reuben, for she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. Kind of a sad picture in a sense. Leah must have loved the snot out of him, and he looked upon his other wife with more favor. And so she was disheartened right from the start, it seems as though. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, or less loved, he hath therefore given me this son also, and called his name Simeon, son number two, under Leah there. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi, number three son, under Leah there on your chart. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah, number four son. And then she left off bearing for a while. And one point in my studies to understand, Leah was disheartened. Leah was rejected, in a sense. Leah was in tribulation and in affliction because of the husband that she loved dearly. And she thought that bearing sons to him would change his heart, but apparently it did not. And so far and in our studies. And in the bearing of her fourth son, Judah, in her affliction, she calls out to the Lord and says, I will praise the Lord in my affliction. I'm adding that. Even though I'm afflicted, I will praise the Lord. And I believe this. I believe that that's a little tidbit of why Judah was chosen as the bloodline to bring forth the Christ. Just a little thought of mine interjected there. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Joseph, give me children, or else I die. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, am I in God's stead? Who hath withheld from thee the fruit of thy womb? And she said, behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, and I that I may also have children by her. And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid to wife, and Jacob went in unto her, and Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, God hath judged me, and has also heard my voice, and hath given me a son, therefore called his name Dan. Look on your chart. Son number five, not born of Leah, not born of Rachel, but born of Rachel's servant, Bilhah. Son number five, Dan. Goes on to say, and Bilhah in verse 7, Rachel's maid conceived again and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, with great wrestling have I wrestled with my sister, and I've prevailed. And she called his name Naphtali, son number six, under the servant, Rachel's servant, Bilhah. Moving on. And Leah saw that she had left bearing and took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her Jacob to wife, and Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son, and Leah said, a troop comes, and she called his name Gad, son number seven, but under Zilpah, Leah's servant. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughter will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher, son number 8, but born under the second son born from Zilpah, Leah's servant. So far we have 8 sons born from 3 different women. Interesting. And Reuben went in the days of wheat and harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them unto Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, give me, I pray, of thy son's mandrakes. And she said unto him, it is a small matter that thou hast taken. Is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband, and would thou take away my son's mandrakes also? And Rachel said, therefore, he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes. And Jacob came out into the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him, and said, thou must come in unto me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes. And he lay with her that night, and God hearkened to Leah, and she conceived, and bare Jacob her 5th son. And Leah said, God has given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband. And she called his name Issachar. The 5th son born to Leah, but the 9th son born to Jacob. The 5th son to Leah, but the 9th son to Jacob. And so, I'll just throw this in here. We have a few more minutes left, but what order is going to go on these stones? What order of birth is going to go on the stones, the onyx stones on the shoulders of the high priest? And so, through my study, an informed opinion, I suppose. But this is all going to work together. It all has to work together. So let's move on here. And Leah conceived again and bare Jacob a 6th son. And Leah said, God hath endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him 6 sons. And she called his name Zebulun, son number 10. Leah's son from her womb, number 6. And afterwards she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah. Oh, kind of feel sorry for her. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened her and opened her womb, and she conceived finally, I'll say, and bare a son, and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. And it came to pass, when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away, and I will go unto mine own place in my own country. Give me my wives and my children. Well, I don't see Benjamin here.
No, not yet.
Not yet.
He leaves while she's pregnant.
Give me my wives, for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done thee. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thy eyes, tarry, for I have learned my experience, that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. And I'm reading on here, and just for as a matter of time, do you know where Benjamin is born there, Diane? Well, that's interesting. Eventually, thank you very much. I'm no expert. Chapter 35, verse 18, according to the wonderful Miss Jan. And it came to pass, as her soul was departing, for she died, she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. Benjamin, the second son of Rachel, the 12th son of Jacob. And so, you know, we've got a few minutes here. What would be the order then on the stones on the shoulders of the onyx stones on the shoulders? Six sons on either side. Well, I'm going to put forth an studied opinion. I believe that all the sons of Leah, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun, even though they are not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, they are 1, 2, 3, 4, 9, 10, are on the right side. Because Reuben was the firstborn, son of my right hand. Reuben and all of the sons of Leah, I believe, are on the right onyx stone on the right shoulder of the high priest. On the left side, we have in order Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Joseph, and Benjamin on the left side onyx stone, being numbers 5, 6, 7, 8, 11, and 12 of the order of sons. And so I am stating that as far as the birth of these sons, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, that they weren't written exactly 1 through 6 on one side and 7 through 12 on the other. They were written according to the women that bear them. That's what I'm gonna put forth. Okay? And what I'm going to do then is, as we go on to Numbers, we should be able to link up in a logical fashion the encampment order with the order that I just spoke forth about how these sons were ordered on these stones on the shoulders. And then from there, we should be able to link up the encampment order to the breastplate order. And then, and there are some things that occur, like I spoke forth earlier about the blessing of the firstborn, because Reuben pulled some, what's the word? He was a bad guy for a while, he lost his birthright. And then the second, the blessing, the double blessing. See, he had the blessing of the royal blood line given to him, and he had the blessing, if you study the blessing of the firstborn, he had the blessing also of the double portion. Well, the double portion went to Joseph, but the royal blood from which Christ came did not go to Joseph. It went to Judah. And so, you know, we have to wonder why that is. And I said earlier that just a twinkling of an inkling might be from Leah in her praising the Lord, even though she was in trial. Because I believe that that scene, that sort of thing is seen, a blessing is seen when we praise the Lord in trial. That's seen in Job. It's seen in the Apostle Paul when he was imprisoned, and he praised the Lord in saying, and the Lord came and opened up the prison in the Acts. And so the Lord works this way, and it's a possibility that he worked this way with Leah and with Judah, but I'm sure there's more answers to that one, whether I find them or not, will, well, that's to be seen. But I believe that I should stop there because, and then I should make sure that, I don't know, I wish I was a better, wire man and I could get all of you guys, these charts. But, if you got two charts, you're gonna see that I sent out a rendition of how these 12 tribes were placed on the breastplate, and so eventually I'm going to have to explain that. But that was a little premature. Actually, I'm gonna draw up the encampment of Israel and send that out. That's the next thing we're gonna go over. And so, what have we learned? Well, was this a blessing for us as members of the Church of Jesus Christ body? Well, eventually, certainly it will be because, we'll find out about how, Israel, through these priests were instructed to worship him and how holy that was and how exacting that was and how, they had to perform many sacrifices, the entrance of the high priest once a year with the blood for the sins of the people, that never, you know, we've learned from other scriptures, that never could take away the sin of the people. It was always in type of the coming one that did. And we read about the Lord and Savior Christ Jesus last time, about being the high priest in the heavenlies and many other things. The more I study this, the more awesome I know him to be. And so, I believe, or I hope this was a blessing to you, and again, I'll get on sending out, if you guys haven't got any of these handouts, I'll talk to Tony or whatever I have to do, and so I thank you for being here. It's, I hope this was a blessing to you, and I'm just going to continue on if I'm given the opportunity. Thanks very much.